stroll over a bridge or elevated walkway. We'll see the viaducts and red brick facades, the interlocking courtyards and passageways, a distinct architectural ambiance.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. O Canada is a huge new exhibition opening at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts this weekend. O Canada features more than 100 works by 62 Canadian artists, artists from all regions of Canada. I went to Mass MoCA earlier this week as artists were installing pieces in Mass MoCA's galleries. Curator Denise Markanish took me around the show and we talked about some of the pieces and some of the people. Denise, thank you so much for taking the time out of this busy setup to show me around O Canada at Mass MoCA.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming.
So tell me, before we talk about the exhibition and how enormous it is and everything that's gone into it, or some of what's gone into it, tell me a little bit about yourself. How do you come to curate the exhibition?
You know, I've been here at Mass MoCA for almost 5 years, and in my interview for the job, Joe Thompson, our director, said, what kinds of shows would you like to curate? And I said, I think we should do a big show of Canadian art. And he said, why? And my first response was, because I think it would be funny. and I meant that in a number of ways. Both, you know, I think there's that stereotypical notion of Canadians as funny people. I think most of what we think of when we think of Canada are the musicians and the comedians and actors who have filtered through. But yet we don't know that much about the artists there. As a curator, I noticed that there were a number of artists I was responding to who were Canadian, but it was still a small group. And there was a kind of aha moment when I realized I knew more artists from China than from Canada. So I said, well, you know, it's time to look at this. And so just set about trying to figure out what the artists in Canada were up to.
How long have you been working on the show?
5 years.
That sounds about right. It's like, I know these things take a lot of time to come together. Give us an idea of the scope. How many artists, how many pieces?
My research list was 800 artists. I did 400 studio visits over the course of 3.5 years all across Canada, from as far east as Newfoundland to as far north as Dawson City, Yukon, and then whittled it down to 62 artists and collectives. It ends up being about 67 individuals. And there are about 120 pieces in the show.
And how do you ask people to come here and show their work here?
Well, like I said, I did all these studio visits, and artists who I couldn't do studio visits with, we did Skype visits or phone calls and sending me packages. And so it was a really long process of me then deciding, which was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my career thus far. And then just, emailing, finally coming up with a list that I felt was right. And then just inviting the artists to come and be part of the exhibition.
Do all of the artists come here to North Adams, or do they do any send pieces for you to install?
It's a mix. There's definitely pieces that just came that were, you know, ready to hang or install, but we've also commissioned about 10 or 12 new pieces, so all those artists are installing, and a number of others where their pieces need the artist's hand in arranging it. But what's great is that for our opening reception, Saturday the 26th, 58 of the 67 individuals will be here.
That's fantastic. With the commissions, how did you decide to commission certain new pieces from certain artists, and how do you approach them to accomplish that?
When I invited all the artists to be in the show, I asked them all what they wanted to show. So rather than picking an artist for a specific piece, I picked an artist because I liked their work in general. And so early on, I sent out an email that said, what works are available, what would you like to show, or do you want to propose something new? And then it was just about looking through those proposals and looking at budget and, you know, finding the right fits for both our budget and our space and for the show.
And the show is enormous. How much space is it taking up on the MoCA campus?
It's roughly 18 to 20,000 square feet, and it's indoor space and outdoor space, and even branching out into the community as well.
All right. I would like to look at some things, if you don't mind. Let's walk around and talk about some stuff.
Good. What do you want to see first?
Let's talk about this bear.
Okay.
This enormous, beautiful, made of flowers bear.
Yes. So this is a piece by Janice Wright Cheney, who's from Fredericton, New Brunswick. And this is a new piece that she made for the show. It's a full-scale standing grizzly bear. that is covered in hand-felted and dyed roses. And what's really interesting is she uses a really traditional technique to make the dyes, where she takes cochineal, which are little tiny bugs that get ground up and make a mauve pigment. And so it's a completely natural dye. There was actually stories in the newspaper recently when Starbucks started using it to dye their strawberry drinks, and then vegetarians started freaking out. But their thing was, you know, isn't it better than the synthetic dyes? So she's dyed all of these roses, and the piece is called Widow. And she told a story about her ideas for the piece was once she was driving and she saw a brown bear, smaller bear, on the side of the road that was dead, and it got her thinking about, you know, what about its partner that it left behind? So that's why it's this solitary bear called Widow.
How tall is it?
Oh, it's probably about eight and a half feet.
It's gorgeous. It's funny how sort of intimidating it is by its size and the fact that it's a bear, and then it's so, you know, beautiful and made of flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's so remarkable to me is, you know, she got amazing expression in its face, too. So it's, you know, the first thing you see when you walk in the galleries, and I think it really just sort of will draw people in.
What do you want to show me next?
Well, how about the other thing you see when you first walk in the galleries?
Sounds good.
Which is a piece by Kim Adams, who is an artist based in Toronto. And it's a piece called Optic Nerve. And it's actually a full-size Ford Contour van, white van. What Kim has done is he has drilled thousands of holes in the side of the car, making this kind of lace-like pattern. And the whole thing gets lit from within, so it creates these beautiful lacy shadows on the walls and ceiling. And, you know, I think it's one of those unexpected things where people don't expect to walk into a museum and have the first things, two things they see are a full-size grizzly bear and a full-size car. But that's the kind of stuff we do at Mass MoCA.
Yeah, it is. Enormous things in these huge spaces.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now we're approaching a television.
Yep. So this is an example of a new piece for the show, and it's by a faux folk rock duo called the Cedar Tavern Singers. They are based in Lethbridge, Alberta. And what they do is they sing songs about art. And so they've gone through art history and they've sang songs. They will do new songs for institutions and create music videos. So what I asked them to do here was create a whole song about Canadian art coming to Mass MoCA. So they did this very 80s inspired green screen video with them floating through various scenarios with beavers and maple leaves, and the song is called O Canada, O Canada, and they're trying to imagine what Canadian art might look like when it comes here. And it's very funny, and they're actually going to be performing here the night of the opening as well.
That's fantastic.
And it's also part of and we'll have that out also, a 4-song EP. And so they also did a song called O Mass MoCA, and then two other songs, one about Jenny Holzer, a show we had here, and one about Inigo Manglano Ovalle, show that we had here a few years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So this is a gallery we call our tall space, because it's 3 stories high. And when I was first planning out this show, I knew I had so many artists that I would definitely need to go vertical. And our director said I got an A+ for verticality.
That's fantastic.
So there's lots of pieces that sort of reach up to the ceiling. When you walk through the doors and turn around, one of the first pieces you'll see is by Gary Neal Kennedy, who is an artist from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And it's a piece called Spotted. And it's 72 photographs that he pulled off the internet of CIA rendition planes. So these are all planes that carry suspected terrorists across borders. And these photos are taken anonymously by plane spotters. And so he's been gathering them, and then he makes this giant grid, and they're hung right up to our ceiling, which is over 30 feet high. So this piece is by Kent Monkman, and Kent is a First Nations artist from Toronto, which is akin to our Native American, the terminology that they use.
First Nation versus American Indian. Got it.
Yeah, American Indian, yes. Kent has done a lot of work surrounding these ideas of First Nations identity and history. He's developed an alter ego for himself, Mischief Eagle Testicle, which said fast sounds mischief egotistical, which is a First Nations person in drag. But for this piece, which is called Two Kindred Spirits, we've built a sort of diorama, full-size diorama / log cabin to hold these two scenes. And on one side is the Lone Ranger and Tonto with the cowboy, quote unquote, on the ground and the, quote, Indian standing over him as he lays dying. And then on the other side is the German version, which were from the Karl May stories, and it's Old Shatterhand and Winnetou. And then there's sort of, you know, accoutrements around them. So on the German side, it's Beck's beer bottles, and on the American side, it's Budweiser. And then there's two windows, and out the back of the windows are two video screens in which the artist, dressed as these characters, has enacted a series of vignettes that play when you look out the window. So this is a piece by Kim Morgan, who's an artist from Halifax. It's a piece called Range Light, Borden Carlton, PEI. And what she did was she went and found a range light, which is like a small lighthouse in Prince Edward Island, and cast the entire thing, the inside and out, in latex. And then you peel that away, and so it creates a skin. And it picks up, amazingly, it picks up the wood grain, any graffiti that was on the surface. So it becomes this like trace and this memory of this range light, which has been decommissioned. So it's you know, kind of about memory. And so it's the full scale thing. And it's getting strung up right now to the ceiling and will sort of stretch up above in the space and sort of fall down.
That's fascinating. And in the tall space, it is quite tall.
Yes. Going up.
We're taking an audio gallery tour of O Canada. The exhibition opens at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts this weekend. Our guide is Mass MoCA curator Denise Marconish.
So this is an artist, Mario Doucette, who is an Acadian artist. So he's of French descent, but it's different than the Quebecois French. The Acadians are mostly in the Maritimes, in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. And historically, there was this great expulsion when the French and the English were both laying claim to the land. And they call it the Great Expulsion because the Acadians didn't want to have an alliance with either the French or the English. And so they just started deporting them. And some of them were sent to the United States, to the South, and became the Cajuns. And so Mario Doucette is of Acadian descent, living in Moncton, New Brunswick, and he's always played with that history in his work, painting these kind of faux naive narratives that play off of traditional historical narrative paintings, but then recast them to shed light on this story.
These remind me of the storybook artwork in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yes, totally. So this is Annie Pudigu, who is one of the two Inuit artists in the show. And there's a great tradition of Inuit art in Canada, which started out very traditional. And then in the 1950s, a man named James Houston went to the northern part of Quebec and started to see what the artists were doing there and wanted to figure out ways of bringing their art further south. And so he set up a printmaking program in Cape Dorset and at their co-ops, which brought artists materials, and then they could sell the works to the co-ops, and then the co-ops would sell them to the south. And so it's created this amazing lineage of artists. So Annie is part of that lineage. Her grandmother, Pistiole Kashuna, was an artist, as was her mother, Napache Pudigu. And her mom really changed the face of Inuit art by not just looking at tradition, but starting to represent some of the hardships of life in the north. And so Annie has continued to do that. So in her drawings, you see very straightforward representations from, you know, ordinary moments like watching Dr. Phil on the television, or a little girl sitting on the bed watching her mother draw, to more violent moments, like one which is a man and a woman fighting, to another one called Evil Spirits, which is this kind of exorcism-like image. So her work really sort of touches on all of those moments.
And what's the medium?
They're pencil crayon, yeah.
How do you, I guess you just because you're passionate about it, it's your job, but how do you keep all of this in your mind?
Oh yeah, that's always tricky. This show's been hard. I usually have a pretty photographic memory. I can remember things, names and titles and things like that. But you know, I've spent so much time working on this. And also, you know, we're doing this big catalog, so I spent months writing about it. and that sort of cements it in your brain. Once you have to describe it in your own words rather than just reading other people's interpretations, it stays.
Got it.
So these two paintings here, they're sort of monochromatic landscapes, and they're by Douglas Copeland. And now Douglas is most commonly known as a writer who wrote the novel Generation X. But what a lot of people, especially in the States, don't know is that he's an artist as well, and actually originally went to college for studio art. And a lot of his work sort of looks into the Canadian psyche. So we're showing two paintings here, which reference paintings by the Group of Seven member, Lauren Harris. Now, the Group of Seven were landscape painters who were sort of built a sense of nationalism in Canada by going out and painting the landscape. And Lauren Harris painted Arctic landscapes in an almost stylized way. And so as part of this nation building, there, the National Gallery of Canada and Samson Matthews, which was a printmaking company, they would make affordable prints of all of the Group of Seven's paintings and get them into schools and hospitals so everybody could sort of see this art. And, you know, this is something that Douglas remembered growing up. And so he wanted to make even more stylized reproductions, which sort of hint at the digital age, thinking about these iconic landscapes and how they've been reproduced. So you get this very kind of hard edge, taped out, geometric landscape. And in one of them, he even puts this sort of, in black and white, the color bar across the top, so it references reproduction. And in the other, he paints this like crazy houndstooth pattern. So, you know, they could never quite be natural.
Right, but they are still, I think very accessibly frozen landscapes.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. This is another interesting artist. This is Ruth Cuthand, who's another First Nations artist based in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. She's taken microscopic images of viruses and diseases and reproduced them using very traditional First Nations beading techniques. And she places them under glass with the name of the virus etched on the glass so they feel very much like scientific specimens. But they're, you know, it's one of those things where when you see what it is, it's terrifying, but they're also so beautiful.
When I saw it from a little ways away, I was like, oh, hepatitis C, what's going on over there? But yeah, it's like you said, if you look in and it's beautiful, colorful seed beads and patterns.
And she started doing this series when she started thinking about the diseases that the white man brought to the native people. And so her first one that she did was smallpox. So, which, you know, famously wiped out many Indigenous people in Canada.
Right.
So this is by a young artist, David Harper. David is one of my expats. There's very few of them, only five in the show who aren't currently living in Canada, but it was important for me that they still actively identify as Canadian.
Okay.
So David had moved out of Canada to go to grad school. He did this piece called Finding Yourself in Someone Else's Utopia, and it's a three-part piece. So it's really started with this painting, which is a painting by Fran Snyder, which is a very traditional painting of the hunt. And he's reproduced it. And then a lot of his work involves embroidery and taxidermy and sewing. So what he's done is he's reproduced this boar hunt. There's sort of snarling dogs and men with pitchforks. But he's embroidered out with white thread the whole boar, except for this like one spot of blood. Love that spot.
Yeah, so it looks sort of ghosty.
Exactly. And then he's reproduced the boar in life size using a taxidermy mount, but he's also thinking about traditional decorative arts. So the boar is dyed blue, and then all of its snout and its ears and its hooves are cast in resin, but then applied to it are traditional blue Delft ceramic decals. And then the boar sits next to this geodesic dome, which is made out of similarly cast and decorated femur bones, not actual bones. And so he's really looking at this idea of utopia and, you know, the sort of history and decoration and all of that. One of the great things that I noticed across Canada is that a lot of the artists are really taking traditional craft methods and materials and twisting them in very conceptual and contemporary ways. So, you know, David's piece does that in the same room Luann Martineau, who's in the corner, is making her own felt and making sculptures out of felt. And then Clint Newfield, who's an artist from Saskatchewan, has been casting in ceramic boat motors and car engines and transmissions, but making them these beautiful, so, you know, the boat motor we have here is all cast in white, but certain parts of it are done in gold. Or he's
real gleaming gold.
Yeah, yeah. And it will sit on a red velvet pillow on a little wooden end table. So we'll have two pieces of his, this one and then another one, which is a settee, a very Victorian settee. And sitting on that is a cast car engine. So really sort of playing with those masculine, feminine gender roles, and also material. Okay, since it's already started to rain.
Okay.
Right over here, so when you come out of the doors behind the lobby and walk straight back, there's a space that we first used last year. We had done a beer garden outside, and so we decided to resurrect that space and also resurrect drinking outside at Mass Mocha.
That's fine with me.
So I invited this artist, Dean Baldwin, who's based in Montreal now, to do a new project. And he builds bars, and he builds them as art installations. So he's building a piece here called Chalet, and it's a kind of parallelogram A-frame wood timber building that's inside another building. The chalet inside is going to be functioning as an installation slash bar for the opening, and then we're going to run it over the summer one or 2 days a week. We're still working out our schedule. But he often also develops theme cocktails. So he's working on a theme cocktail for the opening, something that's very sort of Adirondack cabin-y. It looks like a mix between Vermont and Canada in there right now. And we'll have him back a bunch of times over the summer to do events in the space.
Not to give away too much about myself, but that sounds like my favorite.
Yeah. It's great. No, everybody, whenever I say there will be drinking at Mass Mocha again this summer, everybody gets really excited. Dean just did an amazing piece in Montreal, which was a bar that was in a sailboat. And then maybe the last piece we should talk about is here and everywhere.
Okay.
So we want to ask people to not only look at the art on the walls, but to train their eyes on the corners of the museum. Mike Alexier, who's an artist based in Toronto, has done a new piece for us called A Coin in the Corner. And it's a little play on the word coin, which in French, corner is coin, which is spelled C-O-I-N. Right. So he's minted 100 special edition coins. And on each one, there's just a drawing, a very simple line drawing of a coin in a corner. And there's 100 of these coins placed throughout the whole Mass Mocha Museum complex. So it's a bit of a scavenger hunt. Some of them are in unlikely spaces. Some of them won't be completely accessible to the public because they're in some offices. But we will let the public know exactly how many they can find without breaking into people's doors.
Right.
So that's going to be a really fun piece, and one that will actually stay here after the show has come and gone.
Have we walked past a lot today that I didn't see? Of course.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't looking.
That's why we have to tell people to look in the corners. You know, nobody normally looks there. And after I installed them, I sent a note out to the staff and said, you know, keep your eyes peeled. And when our cleaning crew is cleaning, pay special attention to the corners, because they don't usually. And we left little sawdust piles around when we were installing them. And now everybody keeps coming up to me and they're like, wait, I just found one in the bathroom. Where's another one? So it's, you know, I think it will be both a scavenger hunt for our visitors and our staff, because only me and one other person here know where they all are.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time, and have a great opening. And I wish you huge success in the exhibition.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Canada. What has come down to Mass Mocha? From above the 49th parallel, out of the maple trees, igloos and canoes, the largest Canadian survey ever produced, outside of the second largest country, is already shrouded in mystery. Is it about hockey? Maybe post-painterly hockey. Oh Canada, oh Canada. Oh Canada, oh Canada.
O Canada opens at Mass Mocha this weekend. The opening party is Saturday at 6 p.m. Our guest and host was curator Denise Markanish. There are pictures of some of the pieces we mentioned online at WAMC.org, and both songs used in this segment are from the EP that Denise mentioned in our tour by the Cedar Tavern Singers. To learn more about O Canada at Mass Mocha, visit massmocha.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.